Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Once again, it is time to explore spirituality for busy people. So far, we have talked about the need for a Sabbath rest, not just one day off, but maybe even Sabbath moments in our day where we stop and we're attentive to God. The importance of prayer. Last week, we talked about the examine of consciousness and the examine of conscience, if we're really conscious of God's presence and how he wants our lives to change. Tonight, the spiritual discipline of devotional reading. Robin Wrigley Carr, welcome once again.
Thank you.
This is interesting. I think anybody who has walked with God for a while, anybody who's lived the Christian life for some time, will already know of the prime importance of the Bible in their spiritual lives. I mean, sure. This one book has totally changed my whole worldview, my mm-hmm. whole life. What I find interesting, though, is that there's a variety of mainstream figures who will also point to it and say, this book is second to none. So I think about Charles Dickens, who actually said the New Testament is the best book ever known. Even a singer like Nick Cave would point to the Bible as being his prime source of inspiration for his lyrics. Unfortunately, I reckon the Bible's probably one of the most abused texts sure. in history, too. It's been used to justify slavery. How many times have we opened up a passage at random and used something to justify our own personal whims? We really need to be intentional about the way we approach the Bible, don't we?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think the Bible is indispensable for spiritual growth, and yet it's really important how we actually approach Scripture, that we read Scripture in a faithful and disciplined manner. And we need to remember that we do have historical distance from the original communities in ancient Israel and the earliest churches to whom these texts were addressed. Mm. And the Bible has a variety of authors and different genres and documents written at different times. And we really need to read it carefully and look for distinctive themes and patternings of reasoning of individual authors. So if you think of someone like Luke, he has a special concern for the poor. So if we can see overriding narratives and the big picture of who God is and how, you know, Jesus is revealed through Scripture and things like that. Mm. And not just taking verses out of context. I think of when I was a teenager and I used to just open the Bible and stick my finger on a page and open my eyes to see, you know, is this guidance? And you'd sort of get some verse out of Leviticus that was a real shocker and you'd think, oh, I don't think this is quite the way to read Scripture. So placing the verse in the chapter, in the book, in the whole canon of Scripture,
yes.
the whole contextual thing.
That's key, isn't it? I think
Absolutely.
That's the one thing. If there's one word that we can leave people with when it comes to really studying the Bible, it's this word context. The verse in the paragraph,
sure.
we often take it out and say, oh, this is what it means, and the paragraph actually is saying something totally different.
Yeah.
The paragraph in the book in the Testament, and the Testament in the whole of the grand Bible story.
Yeah, it's sort of getting the big picture, if you like.
Mm.
And I think we have to recognise that there are different genres or types of texts. So we've got letters and poetry and narrative and history, and these are to be read differently because they're different types of texts. There are different purposes in the different texts themselves, purposes for writing, addressing different needs in communities and whatever. And after reading the text carefully in context, then we can try to relate the text to our situations.
Well, Paul's classic statement about women remaining silent in church has got to be a classic example of that.
Yeah, or wearing hats.
Yeah, the historical context of the yeah. situation at a particular church, very different from what we have today.
Yeah, so this analytical study of Scripture is really, really important. But I think I'd say on the other hand, along with that, we need to get beyond just the knowledge, just the... You know, I have done all my exegesis and all my hard work and I've got all the facts and it's all in my head. We want Scripture to move to our hearts and warm our hearts and motivate our lives. And so, you know, we need to learn about reading Scripture devotionally as well as analytically.
Okay, so two definitions then, I guess. You know, the analytical study of Scripture, very, very important to understand what it's saying, but also the devotional reading of Scripture, which is, I guess, what we're going to focus on. Mm-hmm. I think all of us have met or have actually been people who have had lots of Bible knowledge, but maybe not so much of the fruit of that knowledge actually living out in our lives.
Sure. And I think, too, we can become over-familiar with some of the stories in Scripture. You know, the Easter narrative, every year I revisit it, especially at Easter, and I long for it to move me and not just be, oh, yeah, I've read this before. And there are ways to help us be moved by Scripture. And that's what we're talking about today.
Most appropriate to talk about that tonight as well. Okay, so let's talk about this devotional reading of Scripture, almost a meditative approach to reading Scripture.
Mm-hmm. I think that the term meditation fills some Christians with horror because it's associated with secular and Eastern spiritualities, where the purpose there is losing identity and merging with some cosmic consciousness. And what I want to talk about tonight has nothing to do with transcendental meditation and loss of consciousness and all that sort of thing. It's really, the focus is about chewing on scripture, not about emptying our minds. So I think, you know, for centuries, Christians have meditated on scripture. Even someone like Luther advocated meditation on scripture. And the whole idea is, it's like a cow chewing its cud. It's a prayerful way of crawling through scripture where we make it our own. So the truth is meditated upon, and it passes from the mouth to the mind to the heart, and is, you know, meant to produce a loving response as well.
And even the Apostle Paul said to his protege Timothy, reflect on what I'm saying, mm-hmm. and God will give you insight into this.
Yeah.
Again, that's the insight that comes after the reflection, the prayerful meditation on the Bible.
Yeah, and it's slower. It's not like skimmer reading a newspaper. It's a slower pondering on scripture where you're using smaller chunks and really trying to work it into your life and into your bloodstream.
Mm. Well, there's two well-known phrases for anybody who studies this area that we'll explore this week and also next week. One is Lectio Divina, which is the Latin phrase for holy reading. Mm-hmm. And the other one is Ignatian spirituality. Tell me more about the Ignatian meditation approach to scripture.
The Ignatian meditation really is trying to engage our imagination and our senses in the reading of scripture. And I think it's particularly useful with the Gospels. You know, a moment ago I was talking about the passion narrative of Easter and how, you know, we can read it again and feel like, oh, yeah, I've read this before, and it's not really moving me. You know, I should be really having a heart of thanks around this special Easter time. With the Ignatian approach, you're trying to take a small chunk, for example, of a gospel narrative and pretend that you're actually there. So smell the sea and hear the crowd, touch the hem of the garment. So you're engaging your imagination and your emotions. So if we think about a little bit of Mark 15, which is where Jesus is in the praetorium. It's just before he's about to be crucified. He's being mocked by the soldiers. He's being whipped. In that sort of situation, you might imagine that you're actually an onlooker. Maybe you're a slave child that's just seeing all of this from in the distance of the praetorium. Mm-hmm. And you're imagining them putting the purple gown on. So you're looking with your eyes and you're seeing that they're putting the crown of thorns on his head, and you're, you know, thorns on a head, that actually hurts. They're pushing it down hard, and, you know, there's a trickle of blood. And then you're focusing in at Jesus' eyes and, you know, how is he feeling where he is, you know, God's son, and they're just abusing him and being absolutely foul to him. So you're really imagining the scene. You're reliving it. You're engaging your senses. You're actually making the story real, if you like. The purpose is so that it actually impacts you afresh and leads to some sort of heartfelt response.
So it's imaginatively entering the story somehow as maybe a character or an onlooker,
yeah,
or bystander.
So you might imagine that you're one of Christ's disciples, or you might be the prodigal, or you might be the publican, or, you know, you're trying to enter into it. Or you might just be an onlooker who's just really trying to imagine the scene, but also engage your emotions.
Yes, it's not just parsing the Greek verbs behind this
particular
story.
And you're reading it slowly. You know, you're taking a small chunk and you're really looking at, well, what would this have been like? You're asking questions too. You know, how did Jesus feel? Or how did that woman feel? Or what would that have been like? You know, what would it have been like for me to be that person?
Can we only use this form of scripture meditation, the Ignatian meditation approach, on the narrative, the story parts of the Bible? Or can you use it, say, for, you know, some of Paul's letters to the churches and things?
Oh, well, I think you could use it for any section of scripture. I mean, give it a go and see what happens. I mean, I think it's particularly good for the narrative parts because it's easier to imagine the scene as opposed to a letter. I know some people have used this approach with some of the Psalms or some other Old Testament parts as well, but I think it's particularly good for the gospel narratives.
Okay, so the issue is, let's treat scripture with great reverence to some degree. Let's do the work of actually thinking about the historical context that a particular passage was written in. Let's not treat it as some sort of magic little box we open up and pull out some sort of magical charm from. Let's do the work of studying it and analysing it. However, let's not also miss the imaginative, the devotional, where we actually kind of say, well, let this be something that I can actually take from. Okay, well, that's the Ignatian approach to scripture meditation. Next week, we're going to talk about this phrase, Lectio Divina. I'm looking forward to that. Robin, thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Robin Wrigley-Carr, our guide to the spiritual life. Theopenhouse.net.au has the podcast.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.